Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update. It is October 16th, about 4.5 hours prior to the equity market close, and it is just myself today. And let's go ahead and jump right into it. Based on the past week, we have a few updated numbers. The S&P is down about 0.5%. The Dow is up about 0.1, NASDAQ down 0.8, so no real movement from last week into this week for those three, the major three. However, we do have some movement in other realms. We have the Russell, which is the small caps, are up 1.5, 1.6 actually, over the last 5 trading days. Gold is up 8% over the last 5 trading days, and I'll go into that reason why here in a second. And then the 10-year bond, so the one that is directly correlated to mortgage prices, is down 2.6 of the last 5 trading days, which is also just very interesting and very good for the real estate that we are currently invested in within all portfolios. But the main thing I want to focus on here, at least for right now, is gold. Why has gold skyrocketed 8% up over the last week? And that all comes down to one of the key things that Scott and I have been talking about for weeks, months, this entire year is the amount of volatility that is going on in the market. And if you looked at over the past week, there has been quite a lot of volatility, especially to the downside. We had one day in particular where we went down 3%, and the market has basically come back up since then. As I said, negative 0.5, half of a percent. Which is, it's a very flat week if you look at it as a broad spectrum. And so the safe haven that is gold increased because of the increase in volatility. We saw something similar to this earlier this year when the volatility to the downside happened in the first quarter. Gold also went up. Gold is the safe haven when it comes to market risk. And Friday happened and the market came down. Gold went up. Right? It is not directly inversely correlated at all, but sometimes you can see when the volatility hits, a lot of investors just want to go safe. In this case, a lot of institutional investors went safe and bought more gold. Now, since then, we've had earnings come out in the banking sector, and everything is looking fantastic on that side. You got the interest rate cuts, and now it is showing that the future of the banking is going to look really bright because more loans are about to go out. So the velocity of money, which we've talked about the velocity of money over and over again, and how quickly money changes hands, especially when there's low interest rates. So having gold be the safe haven, which is the main reason why it's up 8%, it'll come back down, once the volatility starts to dampen a little bit, which it already has over the past few days. But that is something I wanted to focus on, and I wanted to let the listeners know this is what's happening with gold. Why did it have such a high move is because of the volatility. And the next thing we're going to get into is we're going to jump right into interest rates, go ahead right into Carl's corner and take a look at these probabilities. So Federal Chair Waller, I believe is his name, spoke this week, and he stated that he wants to do a rate cut in October and then be more cautious going through the end of the year and into the new year. Now, Waller is one of the ones that is higher up on the food chain when it comes to being the next Fed chair. And when you have that guy, the next Fed chair, who the presidency, the administration wants to have a Fed chair who wants to cut rates all the time, Waller may have hurt himself in that realm a little bit because he wants to slow down. Now, that's not a bad thing. As we've discussed over and over again, the last thing you want to do is cut rates too fast, have inflation creep its head back up, and then now you have to increase rates. That's the absolute worst case scenario when it comes to this. And then we would possibly see, an extended downtick in the market, which is no one wants to see that. The Fed doesn't want to see that. The administration doesn't want to see that. And so Waller, just like Powell, has the right idea when it comes to let's let the math and let all of the reports that are coming out drive what we do. And until now, we all agreed it is time to cut rates. Quarter basis point here, quarter basis point there. Let it ride a little bit, quarter basis point again, let it ride. There's no reason to just start chopping it the bits. And what we're seeing in the probabilities now is over a 90% chance for a 25 basis point cut in October. Over a 90% chance. And we are within that 20 days that Scott has been mentioning. When you're within 20 days of the Fed meeting, that's pretty much what's going to happen. Right now, it's a 96% chance of a 25 basis point rate cut. So matching what we did in September. That's fantastic. That's going to increase the banking. That's going to increase the technology. And it's going to increase the Russell. Then we have December. December still has over a 90% chance of another 25 basis points. So between the next two meetings, 50 basis point cuts. I think that is going to shift down. I think the probabilities are going to update after this rate cut when we get the new CPI numbers. I think that'll probably shift down. It'll be more 50-50 going into December, especially when you have all of these factors coming into play, like tariffs being reopened. Right, we had the China tariffs, which is one of the big things that moved the market last week as well. Another reason why gold went up so quickly. So these are the things that we are keeping our heads on, which is the things that we are looking at. And when it comes to the Fed probabilities, it's looking good for a good market. I believe last week or the week before, Scott mentioned the 6% statistic for the end of the year. The rate cuts match that. The rate cuts look like they go right in line with that going into next year. And then we have 2026, and we have all the other statistics that we've been talking about, and that we'll reiterate throughout the rest of the year. But as of this moment, just strictly looking at interest rates, things are looking great. And to retouch on the mortgage one, the 10-year bond, that is looking great. And a lot of people do not know this. I'm not sure if our listeners know this, but when real estate is booming, the rest of the economy normally booms along with it. So the 10-year note coming down is fantastic. Now, it is still above 4%. It is at 4.03 as of this moment. We need it to get under 4 to get towards 3.5, which once it breaks 4, more than likely it should go down to 3.5 fairly quickly if you look at past performances of what happens. And just to give a reference, in 2021, the 10-year note was at 0.8 before they started increasing the rates. 0.8 in 2021, and we are now at 4. So when you're looking at your own mortgage, if you bought it sometime between 2020 and 2022 before the rate cut started really going up, that's about the mortgage rates we're trying to get back into, somewhere in the 3 to 5 range. Right now, we're still in the 7 to 9 range. So let's go ahead and bring that down. Once that comes down, you're going to see the market do an uptick and the rest of the economy should come along with it. Not saying we're in a bad economy, we're actually in a very good economy according to GDP status. But once you get the ability to have an extra flow of money because you have federal interest rates coming down, which means credit cards are cheaper and personal loans are cheaper, those are two things that are highly correlated with the federal funds rate. And then you come down with the 10-year bond and now you have real estate cheaper. Those are three of the biggest purchases, three of the biggest money-moving aspects of this entire economy and the market. And when those are down, the interest rates are down, things look very good for the market. As Scott has always said, when we're in an interest rate-moving market, focus on the interest rates. Everything else is noise. And that has reigned true this entire year so far. With that, we're going to keep it very short. If anyone has any questions that they want answered, feel free to email myself or Scott or anybody else here on the staff, and we'll go ahead and make sure we answer those questions on this podcast. And if you think anyone might enjoy the market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean Radio app. Hope you all have a great weekend.